Welcome back. It is the Burns and Gambo show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. And obviously the news of the week, the news of the month, maybe even the news of the year is the Arizona Coyotes franchise relocating to Salt Lake City as part of a sale. And obviously all the emotions and all of the news that comes from that, Gambo has been at the forefront of reporting some of this news over the last couple of weeks. And joining us right now in studio here on the Burns and Gambo show, the now former owner of the Arizona Coyotes, I believe that's the correct way to refer to Alex Morello, but if I am referring to you incorrectly, I apologize for that. Alex, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you to be on your show, both of you individuals. I appreciate it, and I still own the team. So it has gone from being active to inactive,
okay.
But I currently on the team
okay.
as we speak.
So to refer to you as the owner of the Coyotes would still be accurate because you are the owner of that property as we know it, right?
That is correct.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Mr. Morello. We really appreciate you coming in and Javier coming in as well. Thank you. Final home game on Wednesday night at Mullet Arena. A lot of emotions were very high. A lot of people are very sad right now. But I just want to get your feeling. You weren't at the game, and I just want to understand why. Why did you choose to stay away from that game that night?
Well, I didn't choose. I was still working out until this morning. I was working on the deal and getting all the logistics and all the paperwork done, corrected. And it was a process that went all the way through this morning. I watched the game on TV, and it just made me, it was gut-wrenching. It was just so much enthusiasm. It confirms what I already know, that hockey belongs in the desert, and that's what we plan on doing so in the future, in the near future.
A lot of people, they're angry over the loss of that hockey team, which you can understand, fans, employees, stadium workers, and I know in some ways it's affected you and your family, and I want you to answer that too, because I think a lot of people don't understand how it's affected you and your family, but what responsibility do you feel you need to take in their pain right now, and then how has it affected you personally?
Well, look, of course it's affected my family, but I don't really, you know, that's part of the sports, right? What's really bothering me is, of course, the fans. That's the most important part to me. And to address the fans is to understand that I didn't just sell out the team. I'm here. I'm committed. I am fully committed to going forward with the process of reactivating the team, which begins June 27th when I purchase the land auction. I think that is the most important part the fans need to know is that I understand it sucks, it's heartbreaking, and with that, we have plans to move forward. I think it's also important, again, is I didn't sell the team. I could have moved on. I'm committed. I love Arizona. I love the team, and we're going to make this project a reality come June 27th.
Ultimately, Alex, what convinced you that this was the right move? Who convinced you? What convinced you? What set of circumstances made you decide this is what needs to be done? And kind of walk us through the timeline of that a little bit from your perspective.
Well, what happened was I had never had any intention of selling the team. It was never I've been offered for the time I got here to just recently if I was interested in selling the team, and it's always been, no, I'm not interested in selling the team. What happened was that Bill Daly and Gary Bettman came on March 6th to visit myself and basically said, what are you doing? What's the future of the team? And I kind of felt like they were asking me if I wanted to sell the team, and I said, absolutely, I'm not interested in selling the team. That's not going to happen. And they said to me, can you look your players in the eyes and tell them when they can expect to have a new arena built? And I looked at them and stared and said, no. He goes, it's not fair to the players, to their families, and to hockey operations not knowing how long it will take to build this arena. Most of these players, on average, have a career of 4 to 5 years. They've already played 2 years. It could be another 3, 4, 5 more years, and it's not fair to them. It took me a while to understand that, probably a week or so, a lot of soul-searching, thinking, and praying. And they're right. I just can't do that. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the NHL. It's not fair to anybody. And that's why I made that decision. Let's be clear. The reason I did this is because I told them I am not going to sell the team. We have to work out a plan that makes sense for everyone so I can continue to move forward with the team over a period of time. And that's when they decided to go, it's not an expansion team. It's more of an inactive team. to activating again, and the process begins on June 27th.
I don't want to spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror and would rather look through the front windshield here, but I am curious from your perspective, given that it was less than a year ago, what do you think went wrong in Tempe with the vote, with the vote that was last May? What got sideways on that one from your perspective?
Look, when the public does not understand and they believe that all you got to say it's a billionaire tax help or giving free money to a billionaire, they don't go for it. And even though it's not true, I'm not asking for anything. I wasn't asking for any tax abatements or help from the public in constructing the arena. They didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't understand that and they didn't accept it. But it's funny because now you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who just recently won two Super Bowls.
Lost the vote.
And lost the vote. That tells you everything you want to know. The public doesn't understand it. If they think it's some kind of a tax abatement or free money for a billionaire, they're opposed to it.
I'm going to follow up on that. What would you say then? What would you say is the biggest mistake in this team right now relocating to Utah over the last few years? What was the biggest mistake that led us to this point?
Look, I would say it really starts from the beginning. It's not one mistake. It starts from the beginning. They come here and they play in Phoenix Arena, which had so many seats.
4,500, a limited view, couldn't work.
Correct. There were so many obstructed views and seats that they had to relocate to Glendale. Glendale was another mistake because it was so far away from the public and the fans that they could never generate the attendance that was necessary. So that was another failure. It just didn't work. I was basically kicked out. No, I was kicked out of the arena. They asked me to sign for 20 years, and I said I wouldn't do that. And when I said no, they said they would kick me out. I didn't think they would do it, and they did. They thought for sure I would never have enough time to relocate it to a different city in the East Valley, and they were wrong. I went to Tempe. During that 2 years in Tempe, I've seen numbers I've never seen before. It's been extremely successful, and we've generated more revenues, not even close to what we were doing at Gila, for 18,000 seats versus the 4,400 we have at Tempe. So I am convinced that hockey works in the desert.
How realistic is it? Because a lot of people are going to ask this question. How realistic is it that hockey will return to the desert? And what, in your mind, what has to happen for this team to be reactivated within 5 years?
It starts June 27th with the land auction. Once I purchase that land, then we move forward with the city of Phoenix and all the city officials and the city itself. And I need their commitment and their help to making sure that this project cannot happen by itself. It's a huge undertaking that, as we know, any sports project like this, the city has to come in and work with us.
I think it's really important that you are speaking today. So again, I do appreciate it because I think it's important for the fans to hear from you. One of the things that we've heard, and I'm sure you've heard, is from fans and media is that, okay, he had an NHL team, he lost the team, documented of not paying bills late. Why should everyone trust that you're going to get this done the right way?
Well, first of all, I already said that I have the team. It's currently now inactive as opposed to activated. So the team is still there. In regards to me getting the commitment or having the fans feel comfortable, look, I believe in actions, not words. And the actions start come June 27th. As far as paying the bills, it's impossible to be in business for 40 years and not pay my bills.
Alex Morello is our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. If I may, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about this land bid coming up on June 27th, because I'm very curious about it. First and foremost, let's get this kind of out there and on the record. If for whatever reason you don't win the bid, is that it? Is that your, for lack of a better way of describing it, the last straw when it comes to your ability to build an arena here? And how does that amplify the importance of the June 27th date for you?
You can never say that's it, but to me, I am fully focused and committed on buying that land June 27th, and it's very important that that happens.
Is there a price that's too high for the land if there is an auction on it, if there are other bidders who show up?
If other bidders show up, make sure you deposit your money, get your paddle, and we'll bid one against another.
A follow-up to both of those questions, if I may, and I have not heard this speculated upon or addressed, so I'm very, very curious. If, for whatever reason, you get the land, and some unforeseen circumstance pops up that prevents you from building there, you have 5 years. Would you renounce your reactivation rights before the end of the 5 years if you come to realize that you don't have the opportunity to build an arena here, be it because you don't win the land bid or because the government officials are not cooperating in a way that you would want? Would you make the choice to not use the full 5 years to attempt to reactivate the organization?
No, I would sit down and work with the NHL offices and explain to them what's going on and make sure we can work a different plan or different ideas so we can move forward with this purchase. Okay, but really the development of the project.
So you're going to use the full 5 years.
Yes.
That is absolutely.
My intent is to use the full 5 years. Okay. And not only that, but work with the NHL. You will see tomorrow during the interviews and the statement that we're going to have with Gary Bettman and myself, you'll see the commitment from Gary, how important it is to him, because he believes in Arizona. And he's right. He's been here for 20 years, constantly advocating for the hockey team. And he's told me when I first bought the team that this is his dream, and he's had so much invested. We are all committed on getting this thing done.
That is Alex Morello, part one of our interview. This is a replay from earlier in the show when Alex Morello joined us in studio. Of course, last night, the last night of Coyotes hockey as we know it, and now we wait and see if the Cardinals can, or if the Coyotes, pardon me, can reactivate the brand at some point over the next 5 years. The announcement was officially made today by the NHL that the Coyotes are leaving for Salt Lake City. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, part two of our conversation with Morello, and we'll ask him the question, why is it that every owner of the Coyotes has been more focused on developing stuff around an arena and not just an arena? You'll hear what he has to say about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. Here on the Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday. Earlier today, we had a conversation with Coyotes owner Alex Morello. Of course, last night, the final night of Coyote hockey as we know it in this current form. And today, the NHL made the announcement official. They are moving to Salt Lake City. Of course, we've known that for weeks, but today the announcement became official. Press conference coming tomorrow in downtown Phoenix with Gary Bettman and Alex Morello. But we had a conversation with Alex Morello earlier today. This is part two of that conversation. We're replaying it for you. And this part starts with a question that Gambo had about owners of this team over the last 20 years or so paying more attention to the development around an arena and not just building an arena for a hockey team.
The Coyotes have had 8 different owners, and I do think that there is sins of the past that you have had to deal with. I totally do, with the way this all went out. But it does seem that a lot of the owners have cared more about the real estate portion of it than the team itself. So give me your perspective. Do you care as much about the team as the real estate, and why do they have to go hand in hand?
Well, I care about the team and the arena. That's the first thing that will be built. So to answer your question, I'm all in for the Coyotes, the fans, and the arena. With that, usually, if you can create or build a district, it makes it more financially viable. But you've got to start with the arena, period.
A lot of people ask the question, do you have the financial ability for this project? And what help will you need from the city of Phoenix to get this across the finish line and bring Coyote hockey back to Arizona?
So I already had the financing in place before this deal went down. So you can imagine now I've got a huge war chest to get the project built. So financially, not a problem. What I need from the city, this project is too big. It's transformational. We will need cooperation from the city to help me make this dream, this project, a reality. And they know what that means. It comes with permitting. There'll be a lot of decisions that have to be made, but it's all within their spectrum, and they can make it happen if they want to.
But you're saying all along, no taxes on this, right?
I'm saying I do not need any tax assistance. That is correct. I have my own money. I don't need the public money to get this arena built.
How about as far as the infrastructure is concerned? Would that be a tax district of some sort that could assist in the infrastructure that would take place around the arena?
That is correct. That's correct. So number one is you need the city to be involved when it comes to the process and the permitting. That is normal. And then, of course, the city also, there's a law, a state law that was enacted a couple of years ago that is a theme park district that conveys my purchase of land to the district, and then that has different advantages when it comes to what we need for the arena and different aspects. I don't know all the information.
But it's not a tax. You don't look at it as a tax.
It is not a tax. It is not a tax on the taxpayer, public.
Okay, so in some ways, this is very much like, I know every time I go to Italy every year and I sit down at a table, there's a coperta. There's a tax. It's $4 to sit at this table, and that's what I have to pay. Is that what it would be? The users of the facility would pay something that would go into the project to support the infrastructure?
That is correct. That's exactly right.
Okay. Alex Morello is our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I'll follow up just on the Phoenix element of this, if I could. Generally, when taking the temperature of the officials that you've spoken to so far about this, what is your read on their willingness to cooperate with you, to help with you, and how far have those conversations gone so far with the city of Phoenix?
I have not personally spoken to any official yet. I've had Javier Gutierrez and a few of the people that work with me comment on that. I believe they're supportive, but I personally want to meet with the mayor. I think we have a date soon, and the city officials, and make sure they understand who I am, what I stand for, and how this project is so important and opportunistic for the city of Phoenix.
You mentioned the commitment of the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, in a statement that was released announcing the sale. He reaffirmed that commitment. Tell me and tell our listeners, if you will, about your relationship with him and his commitment to seeing this through and getting this done. How confident is he in you, in your ability to use these 5 years and get what ultimately everybody wants, a new arena and the NHL back in the Valley?
First of all, he is extremely committed. He's got 28 years invested into this opportunity and this hockey team in Arizona. He's extremely committed. As far as me, he knows that I am the only one that can get this project done. He's told me before, and on a couple occasions, if it doesn't work with me, it won't work with anybody. He's very supportive. You'll see that tomorrow. And I can tell you that I agree with him, and we're very engaged working together every day on this, and I believe we can make this happen.
What will you do to keep the Coyote name and image alive over these next 5 years? We've talked about Roadrunner Hockey coming to the Mullet Arena, and I know they've got a lease agreement that you're probably going to have to work all of that out, but what can you do over 5 years to make sure that hockey has a presence? There's so many youth hockey programs in Arizona that are thriving. What will you do to keep the presence of the Coyotes alive and to keep youth hockey and programs alive?
So when this transaction takes place and it's basically done, we plan on keeping all the hockey when it comes to business operations intact. I also kept in this deal, which never happens, I kept the AHL team that plays currently in Tucson, and we're going to move them up to, well, the arena. The youth hockey will stay as is, and I will be underwriting that, which is a very important thing because there's so many thousands of kids, boys and girls, and families that depend on this, and it's very important to me. The foundation, the Kelly Foundation, will stay in place. So I would say the best way to look at it is the only thing that I've really done is I sent the players and hockey operations to Utah. Everything will stay the same with the Coyote logo, all the IP. All that comes with it that I currently have will stay intact.
But you do understand, and I think this is really important to get your feeling on it for the fans. The players that they loved, the players that they bought jerseys for, the players that they were invested in, they're gone. The Coyotes' history is going to go to Utah. You may be able to keep the name and start, and you will have to have an expansion draft. There'll be all new players. What do you say to those fans that have lost their team, their identity, their favorite players? What would you say to them?
It's horrible. I apologize. It's something that I tried at every cost to avoid. And what I take solace is understanding that, more importantly, is the career of these players. To keep them here in a campus facility for another 3 or 4 years was not right. And that's what I think that's the most important thing, that I had to come to a realization that no matter how much I love these players, and I sat down with them, I spoke to them, several of the players and the team leaders of the players, and it was a long conversation. It was very emotional in many aspects because these are my kids. I along with Bill Armstrong and my son, handpicked these individuals the last 3 or 4 years. To see them moving on is gut-wrenching, but it's not fair to them or their families.
Everybody learns from their mistakes. We all do. What will you do differently the next time? When you look at the last 5 years, and obviously you took over and the pandemic came, and again, I mean, you were in a tough spot right there. What will you do differently the next time professional hockey is here in Arizona?
That's a hard question to answer, but I can tell you this. What I will do differently, and what I said from day one, I don't believe, and I've seen it before the last several years at Gila, that the way it was situated, the Coyotes in Phoenix, in Glendale, did not work. And my goal is to do what has to be done from day one. It's built the Coyotes a facility, an arena they should be proud of, that they can call their house, their home. And that is what I want to do, what I've been thinking from day one. That's what I think is the most important part of the Coyotes' future and for the fans.
So you want to win, like the Invelic, this team has had a low payroll every year, and part of it is because of the financial situation. New team, new start, new beginning, new arena, the finances will be there to put a competitive winning team on the ice?
Well, it's a lot easier when you're at 18,000 or 17,000 seat arena as opposed to 4,000. It's not the same, right? It's hard to compete financially when you're at a disadvantage during the entire league. So no matter how you look at it, it was almost impossible because you're operating at most teams are at 20,000 capacity. I'm operating at 4,000, 4,400 seat capacity. It was impossible to really compete where I wanted to be.
I'll leave you with this because I want to just give you an opportunity to thank the fans for the support and say whatever you may want to say to them. But a lot of hockey fans are listening. A lot of Coyote fans are listening. We carry the broadcast here on this station. What would you say to your fan base right now about everything that's going to happen and about what the future may hold?
It's very emotional. It's very difficult for me personally. I understand. I try and understand what you're going through, because to have your team or your players moved is very difficult. And I'm not professing I will ever have that same understanding. I can tell you, as a huge fan of the Coyotes, I feel your pain. As an owner, it's extremely difficult. But from here on out, what you need to understand is that I have not sold the actual team. I've kept everything I could explain during the conversation. That June 27th will be the start of a new beginning for the Coyotes and what we want to do. And I also would like to say to believe me, but I believe, I also understand believing is actions. It's not words, it's actions. And you will see that start June 27th.
So putting a winning team on the ice, spending, you know, above the ceiling on the cap and putting the right pieces in place to secure a winning organization here in Arizona. Tell me about that.
Yes, absolutely. As we've been talking during the conversation, I want you to understand that during my tenure last 4 years, we've done all the right things to make sure we had the draft picks and get our team to be a winning organization, and we have done that. And I'm very proud of that. Can we do it again? Absolutely, we can do it again. And more importantly now, as we move forward into a new arena, building the state, you know, first-class, state-of-the-art arena, we can now spend what it takes to win a championship, to win a Stanley Cup, and that is to the cap and beyond the cap as necessary. We believe we can do that now with this new facility.
That's something that fans are going to want to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
We wish you the best, and we're pulling for you, and we hope that you deliver on those promises and bring hockey back, because as you guys have said all along, hockey belongs in the desert. We all believe it, and we support your efforts to bring hockey back to Arizona because it belongs here.
Thank you very much for both of you guys.
Thank you, Alex. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
That was Alex Morello joining us in our studios here in the Auctione Community Studios earlier today. The news becoming official today of the organization's move to Salt Lake City. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, as if there wasn't enough going on around here, ASU is looking for a new quarterback. We'll tell you why and who's leaving next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what is on tonight? They are the games that we are going to watch tonight, and it's brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today at globalcu.org. Diamondbacks baseball is on tonight. They're taking on the San Francisco Giants at 6:45 right here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
There you go.
So we'll have that
nice
on
division
tonight.
Matchup.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
And tomorrow, Jordan Montgomery, his debut as a member of the D-backs. Nice. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. Other than that, no NBA action tonight. We had the Eastern Conference play-in games last night, ones in which injuries dominated the landscape. Jimmy Butler's going to be out a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso's probably going to be out for the Bulls. I haven't seen anything for sure, but I think he's going to be out for the Bulls game coming up. So that's tomorrow night. So, but no NBA action tonight. And there you have it. That's what's on tonight. Diamondbacks baseball.
Right.
In addition to whatever else that you want to watch.
I'm kind of out of shows. I'm going to have to start looking for some possibilities.
You need to find something new. Well, you got a show tonight.
Is that
Diamondbacks baseball?
I do have Diamondbacks baseball. Is the Lincoln show any good? That
The
Lincoln show. Abraham Lincoln and Booth. Like,
I heard that show was terrible.
Did you hear it was terrible with John David Booth?
I think it's called Manhunt.
Manhunt.
And it's like a show about about the search for John Wilkes Booth after he assassinated Abraham Lincoln. And I read somewhere that it was not good.
Okay.
Was not good. But
how do you feel about post-apocalyptic but also contains a lot of like gore?
Yeah, I'm okay with
but
that.
But it's also based off a video game franchise?
Fallout.
Yeah.
Fallout.
I'm two episodes in. I'm into it. Very much into it. It's on Prime.
I like. I'm okay with gore.
I heard there's an actor in that show who's just like giving off young Denzel Washington vibes, big time. You know, I think
the guy who plays, I think his name's Maximus.
Okay, well, Maximus.
Oh my God,
he's Maximus. Everybody, as far as I know, is in love with Walton Goggins in this one. He's very much been a character actor, as far as I'm aware, up until now.
Okay,
in this, he's really, really good.
Fallout on Amazon Prime, a end of the world
as we know it,
gory show based off of a video game.
On
there
Prime.
You go.
Okay.
Based on a video game. Yes, sir. Based on, like, The Last of Us.
Is it cartoonish?
No, it's live action.
Okay.
There's some CGI to help make it look finite, but it's live action.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Before we react to the Morello interview, because we've replayed that for you, and hopefully you've had a chance to kind of digest it.
They're naming our team, Pernsey.
I did.
I
was going to bring that up.
Man.
On Tuesday, applications were filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for trademarks on the following names: the Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, Utah HC, and Utah Hockey Club.
I agree with you. The best one is Blizzard.
By far.
The Blizz.
Yeah. You call them the Blizz for short. Yeah. The Utah Blizzard.
Just ran into a blizzard.
Easy, no-brainer. It's
they
simple.
Can't have a force of nature nickname.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Because the Avalanche.
The Venom? The Venom?
What in Salt Lake City is venomous? I mean, they have snakes, I assume.
Some people are saying they should do something related to bees.
Well, there's a lot. Yeah. The
bees?
Yeah, there's a...
Yeah, they're the beehive state.
That's right. Don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, they are. They're the beehives. I knew there was some association with bees in Utah. I couldn't remember what it was. They're the beehive state.
Venom? What was the other one?
Fury. It's so boring.
Fury's boring.
Fury's Blizzard. Boring. Blizzard. Blizzard. Go with Blizzard.
The Blizzard.
You know what? You're going to take my hockey team. You're going to take my name from my hockey team. Call the Blizzard, damn it.
Logan Cooley of the Blizzard. Dylan Gunther.
Real quick.
Of your Blizzard.
The reaction from Kenny Dillingham. Two tweets.
Okay.
Jaden Rashada has entered the transfer portal. Rashada sent out a tweet thanking ASU. Coach Dillingham sent out two tweets. Always rooting for you. Go find your spot. go be great like I know you can. And then secondly, someone will be getting an elite talent and a great person. We always will be rooting for you.
You take the high road. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Jaden Daniels ended up leaving too. Competition. You know, you can't promise anybody that you're not going to go get another quarterback. So every year you got to try to bring in a quarterback. And, you know, I think this year the feeling was that they brought in a quarterback in Sam Leavitt. All indications were in the spring ball that he was the better quarterback and he was on track to be the starter over Jaden Rashada. If that's the case, it is what it is. Rashada may have seen the writing on the wall and decided that it's best to just transfer out. He went to Kenny Dillingham today, and told Coach Dillingham that he was going to hit the transfer portal.
I think this deal was almost sealed the minute they went out and got Sam Leavitt. I really do.
Remember his Jaden Rashada's father tweeted something out?
Yep, like the
with the eyes.
Like the spinning wheel. Like on a computer, like the spinning wheel when your computer is loading something.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
I think in today's day and age, when you transfer in a Power 5 quarterback or a Power 5 player, you're basically sending a message to your current Power 5 quarterback. We've got a guy in case you decide to bolt. We've got a guy that maybe we like better. We've got a guy for competition. And the minute that happens, you are rolling the dice, man. And the minute, and you said you broke the news, the minute we knew Sam Leavitt was coming in here, in the back of my mind, I thought that could mean the end of Jaden Rashada. And it did. It's just because that is just college football, man. And that is why sometimes it is really hard to get behind college football these days.
It's a story we broke on December 11th that Michigan State transfer was coming in. Now, I can tell you this, that Arizona State is expected to add another quarterback to their room through the transfer portal. So they will get another quarterback through the transfer portal.
It's whatever at this point. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Arizona Diamondbacks in the Bay Area tonight, we will preview their matchup against the San Francisco Giants next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
All right, Diamondbacks baseball is coming up next year on Arizona Sports. The local sports leader is the Diamondbacks in the Bay Area taking on the San Francisco Giants. They, too, are off to kind of an uneven start so far this year. 8-11 under new manager and friend of the show, Bob Melvin, who is there in San Francisco now. Troy Lovello and the D-backs, 9-10 after dropping the series finale to the Cubs yesterday. Your pitching matchup for tonight's game, Ryan Nelson, the right-hander, who was really good his last time out against the St. Louis Cardinals. He gets the start tonight against San Francisco. He is 1-2 with a 5.27 ERA. Logan Webb, also really good his last couple of times out this season. The righty is 1-1 with a 3.80 ERA for the Giants.
Yeah, Giants kick off their 10-game homestand tonight with the first of four against the D-backs. Should be really exciting. Nick Ahmed, a former Diamondback who was not able to watch any of those postseason games, will be starting at shortstop. Logan Webb, San Francisco's opening day starter. He's been there for 6 years. He's been a terrific pitcher for them. Last time out, he got the win at Tropicana Field when he beat the Rays 11-2, and he was great for 7 innings. So really good matchup tonight. He has been a terrific starter for them.
Yeah, the time before that, he gave up just 2 earned runs in 7 innings against San Diego. I mentioned Nelson his last time out. He was very, very good against St. Louis. 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. That Saturday night win against the St. Louis Cardinals at Chase Field. As the Diamondbacks go to San Francisco, and obviously a lot of little issues, and maybe they're big issues, maybe they're little issues, depending on your perspective. Late inning offense has been an issue for this team. Defense this year has been a major issue for this team.
The amount of errors that they have this year compared to last year at the same time is remarkable. Diamondback Stats and Info put that out. I think at this point last year they had 6, and I think this point they have, either 18 or 19. I can't remember the number what they put out the other day, but it's a lot more. So a lot more errors this year. Now, Alec Thomas has been out of the lineup. Perdomo's been out of the lineup. So they've suffered in some key spots. But yes, they've had a lot more errors right now.
Six over the first 19 games last year. 15 Six over the first 15. 19 games this year.
Yeah, it was a 19 in there somewhere.
Eugenio Suarez has been troublesome at times at third base, too. He's certainly was troublesome a couple of days.
Yes, two errors. Yeah. He dropped a ball. I was at the game yesterday for about seven innings where I had to come in here and do the show. And he had a ball hit to him, and he just kind of dropped it. And it led to two runs because they ended up getting two runs in that inning. And, you know, that's mistakes that we're not accustomed to this Diamondback team making. Torey Lovullo takes a lot of pride in defense, and this team has not been what we expect out of a Diamondbacks team defensively.
All right, your injury report for tonight's game is brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. I will tell you that despite some concern over his availability, Gabriel Moreno is in the lineup tonight. He is batting sixth for Torey Lovullo's squad, so that thumb is well enough for him to start and well enough for him to be in the lineup. Something we never got a chance to bring up, I'm going to bring it up here in the injury report, and that is that as part of the roster moves the team had to make to bring up a couple of fresh arms in the bullpen, Eduardo Rodriguez had to be transferred to the 60-day IL. Now, Torey Lovullo reiterated there wasn't anything new that came up with Rodriguez, that was basically the amount of time he was likely to miss anyway after the setback.
Yep.
So he is now eligible to come off the injured list on May 24th. So we know now for sure Eduardo Rodriguez will not be back for the D-backs until on or around Memorial Day in May.
Can't have nice things.
No, apparently. That's the lesson.
Can't have nice things.
There's one thing we've learned about Arizona sports in the last 2 days. We can't have nice things around here.
No.
Just hockey teams, third starters on the baseball team. Can't have
quarterbacks
nice things
transferred out.
No, we can't. Quarterbacks leaving us? Yes, we cannot have nice
things.
Half
the basketball team left, too.
Well, see what the Suns
do. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Exactly. It's been that kind of a mess, hasn't it?
I've heard seven members of the ASU band are about to transfer.
Oh, no. That's what a tragedy on that would be. We'll work on that. In the meantime, let's get you a roof report for tonight's game.
D-backs Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renko Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
Are you thinking roof in San Francisco? No, there's not a roof, but there is a weather report for tonight's game. Right now it's 58 and mostly cloudy.
Oh, I love that weather.
Doesn't look like there's any chance of rain at all. It just looks cloudy, and it looks like it's going to be in the mid-50s for tonight's game. So
nice weather.
Cool, crisp nights.
I love crisp.
By the
crisp
bay.
Air.
Cool, crisp nights
crisp
by the bay.
Air.
For sure. So that is your roof report and your weather report for tonight's opener of this four-game series. The game is coming up. Steve Zinsmeister is coming up with their pregame coverage. First, let's get you a key to tonight's game, shall we?
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by trucks only. The Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
Now, I could go Nick Ahmed is 6-for-16 with runners in scoring position. But that'd be an easy one. But revenge is a dish served something or other.
Cold.
Ancient
so watch
Klingon
out for the
proverb. But
yes.
I'm going to go with Patrick Bailey, who threw out Jazz Chisholm. The first time Jazz Chisholm's been thrown out all year long. Threw him out. But I want to say this about Bailey. He's really struggled this year. In the first four series of the season, Bailey's allowed 12 stolen bases on 14 attempts over those nine games. He even allowed four stolen bases in one evening. Now, I know it's cold and it's crisp, but this is the night to run. Now, he was a little bit better last year, but so far this year, he has struggled throwing out base runners. So that's the key to the game today. Still some bases.
That is going to do it for us. We're out of here on this busy day. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gamble
Show. Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.